Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. Thanks for coming out on this cold morning. Just wanted to welcome you to our service this morning, the first Sunday in Advent. Can you believe it's here? You all ready to start singing Christmas carols? Yeah, so are we. So we're going to be doing that this morning. But before we start, go ahead and turn your attention to the screen above for our call to worship, and then we'll stand together and sing songs together, okay? That we're singing this year, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Everybody, and welcome to the first Sunday of Advent. We are glad you are with us today. For those that are watching online, we welcome you this morning also. Just want to thank everybody that helped out with our community Thanksgiving meal this past Thursday. Those that donated items came in to help pluck turkeys and get things ready on Wednesday, to serving on Thursday, to organizing things. I just want to say a big thank you to Jamie Weiser on Thursday and Charles Kelly in the back, as the two of them kind of put the pieces together on Thursday morning with plugging in volunteers and getting everybody situated. So we want to thank them for their hard work. And we had about 40-some volunteers from the community, our church, as well as Holy Trinity and Manor Church. So that was great to have a wonderful ecumenical effort together as churches coming together and having volunteers help together. We had about, I believe, some 60 takeout meals and roughly around 50 to 60 sit-down, and we took about 30-some meals to the recovery house. I couldn't remember the word, recovery house there on Cherry Street as well. So overall, we did over about 100 individuals plus takeout meals, so it was a great day as well. If you didn't get a chance to see the article on Thursday, we have a few celebrities in our midst, John and Sue Lees, and also Charles in the back there. It was a great article on Friday about just the meal and how many years it's been going on. So thank you for everybody for making that possible. I've heard nothing but good reports from individuals who have said, we really appreciate what you did for us. I ran into Dwight, who came to our Wednesday night meals yesterday at Frick's Hardware Store. And he was telling me once again, hey, thank you so much. My wife and I really appreciated the meal and the takeout I was able to give to her. So again, it wasn't possible if everybody didn't pitch in and help. So give yourselves a round of applause. You all deserve it. So thank you for making that ministry happen. Also, just a reminder that right after the service today, we'll be having choir practice. And again, it's not too late to join the Christmas Eve choir. So if you are interested, you can see Melody after the service or just join them up front, and they'll be practicing for that special number on Christmas Eve. Also, just to remind individuals that as we go into Advent, that there'll be various things out at the Credenza and the Welcome Center next Sunday. So please take some time to peruse those things, to look at some different things. And also at this time, the kids are dismissed. If they want to go to Kids on Worship, you guys can head on back to Kids on Worship this morning and continue to have fun, learn, and grow together. So let us pray this morning. Lord, we come before you and we give you thanks and praise for bringing us here in your house of worship this first Sunday of Advent as we prepare our hearts and our minds for you. So Lord, we ask that you would fall fresh upon us here now, that your Spirit will empower us, and that you will speak to us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, it is Advent season, and that means as we journey through Advent that we'll be lighting the Advent wreath as we prepare our hearts and our lives for the coming of our Lord and Savior. And at this time, if Jean and Linda would like to come forward for the lighting of the Advent wreath. There you go.
Okay. We are glad to be here in this community with this family that is a place of joy, joyful hope, of radical welcome. It is a place where we together, we can wait in the wondrous anticipation of the kingdom to come. From Isaiah 2, verse 3. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that God may teach us God's way and that we may walk in God's paths. We light this candle as a sign of our hope, our joyous hope that we can be restored, our faith restored, our strength restored, our confidence restored, our joyful restored as we watch and wait with all of God's people for the promise to be fulfilled.
Join together in singing, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Come to
It is hard to believe that we're in Advent season. It just feels like we just started the school year and entered into fall, and here we are, the time of Advent, of preparing our hearts for Christ. So this year, I thought we would do something a little different than we have in the past, and that is, for the next two Sundays, I'm going to be taking a song, which we just sung, O Come Emmanuel, for today, and we'll be preaching about that carol, calling it the Christmas song. So for the next 2 weeks, we'll be preaching on two of your favorite Christmas carols, and then December the 11th, we'll have a special guest with us. We'll be doing a monologue of the view of the innkeeper when Jesus came to Mary. Joseph came with Jesus about to be born, and the innkeeper said no room in there for him. And so that person will be doing what it was like from the innkeeper's perspective. And then the 17th, or the final Sunday leading up to Christmas week, we'll be preaching on Mary, as Lance will be singing Mary, Did You Know? So we'll conclude the Advent season preaching on Mary and then come together for Christmas Eve service. So just a little bit different than what we've done in the past. Let us pray. God, I pray that you would just be with us now, and that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, will be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. This time of the year, we can find ourselves to be extremely busy, probably more busy than what we have been all year. It's a time where we can seem to be more tired, more stressed, and more to do because of decoration and checking things off on our Christmas list. A time in which we look at our schedules and say, how am I going to fit it all in? Today is the first day of Advent, and Advent is a time where we come and we're supposed to pause and reflect on a relationship with Christ. It's a time where we prepare ourselves for Christ's birth. 4 weeks of Advent is a time where we are to be getting excited for Christmas morning, the day that Christ is born. 4 weeks of celebrating eager anticipation of his arrival. And as we come to that point, we today remember the fact that we serve a God who is with us. A God that is not a distant God. A God that does not move us in the opposite direction from him, but a God who moves us toward him. And he's a God who comes and is with us and dwells with us. That is called the incarnation, or as John said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God with us. O come, Emmanuel. God with us, dwelling with us in human form. The Word becoming flesh. Jesus becoming a man. That is the great news that we have this Advent season, the great joy, the miracle that God decided to come near to us and to be with us and to stay with us through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's interesting because when you read Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. O come, Emmanuel. O come, Lord, be with us. Dwell with us. And because God has come close to us, we can then receive the love that he has for us. The love that he has shown for us in many different forms. When you read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you will see that it's a love story of how God has been with his people from the beginning of time to the end of time. A witness of how God shows his love for all his people. Today, I think when we look at Advent, I think this is probably the most important time of the year when we look at this aspect that God is with us, dwelt with us, walked with us, knows what it's like to be in our shoes. And therefore is now in heaven, being an advocate for us, because he dwelt with us here on earth, and he still is with us. But the story didn't start out that way, folks. The story started out very different. If you go to Genesis chapter 3 this morning, verses 23 through 24, we're going to be picking up the creation story after Adam and Eve have sinned and after they hear Jesus coming and he's confronted him in the garden and he talks to them and he has to make a decision of what to do. And we find in these verses of Genesis 3, so the Lord God banished him or them from the Garden of Eden to work the ground which had been taken. And after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword, flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. This is probably one of the most saddest scriptures in the Bible, in which God has to cast Adam and Eve out of the garden, out of the perfect creation he made because they disobeyed him. And God said, I'm sorry, but because of your sin, you can no longer reside here. That perfect relationship they had with God was no longer there because they disobeyed him. They made a choice. They went from being very close to God and seeing God and walking from God every day to God being a little distant from them because of the choice they made in the curse of sin. But even in the midst of that, God was still working. When Adam and Eve sinned and when God cast them out of the garden, God already had a plan in effect. And that plan, when you move through Genesis, throughout the entire Old Testament, into the birth of Christ, was preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. That after Adam and Eve sinned, God said, I will once again draw near to you, and you will be my people. You see, throughout the Old Testament, God's grace coming to light, caring for his people of Israel, communicating with the prophets of Israel, saying, tell my people that I haven't forgotten them. Tell my people that I am sending the Messiah. Tell my people that I will come and I will be with them. You go a little further along into Genesis now, in Genesis chapter 12. Verses 1 through 3. And we see now a different story that has occurred in which God said, I'm sorry, I have to do something I don't want to do, to now calling Abraham and saying, through you, I will fulfill the promise of a great nation. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make you a great name, and you will be a blessing. For I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. And we find here that as God is talking to Abraham, he is making a promise of saying, through you, through your generation, through your lineage, that Emmanuel will come. And Emmanuel will be with you and dwell amongst you. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. This might sound very familiar. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Does that not sound very similar to Matthew chapter 1, 23? The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The Old and the New Testament coming together, folks. We have to have both, because in the Old Testament, it is prophesied, and even in the New Testament, it's prophesied and fulfilled, that the Old and the New Testament come together with Isaiah and Matthew, prophesying that God will come and be with us. Speaking of that Christ child, speaking of Jesus being born and having a ministry, speaking of his death and his resurrection and his ascension, Isaiah was pointing us to where we're going in just a few weeks on Christmas morn. And when we look at the life of Jesus, when he comes and is born, grows in wisdom and stature, Scripture tells us, begins his ministry, he dies, resurrected, and 40 days later, he ascends into heaven. But even when he ascends into heaven, he says, I'm not leaving you by myself. I am still going to draw near to you. I still am going to be with you. I still am going to be Emmanuel, God with you, by sending you the power of the Holy Spirit. That when we look at this aspect, that when Jesus ascends into heaven, he says, I am still going to be there. I will never leave you or forsake you. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 8. But very truly I tell you, it is for the good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate or the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Even after he ascends to heaven, he gives us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to dwell in each and every one of us. And I would say, folks, that means that God is pretty close to us here today. That if we have received that gift of free salvation in our life, then that means the Holy Spirit is in us, which means that Christ is in us, dwelling in us, which means he's closer than you can ever imagine, dwelling with us. The Holy Spirit living in us and convicting us of sin. The Holy Spirit leading us into the way of righteousness and modeling us and shaping us in the person that we are supposed to become. That same Holy Spirit that gave Jesus the power to raise from the dead is the same power that is inside each and every one of us. Did you catch that, folks? The same power that was given to Jesus to raise from the dead is the same power that is given to you and I through the Holy Spirit to live a life in these darkest times of the world. Times where we wonder, is there hope? Is there going to be light that will pierce that darkness? That the Holy Spirit gives us that same power that Jesus had. The same power that enables him to be with us here today. I don't know about you folks, but that's pretty amazing to me that we're able to tap into that same power, that if we believe that God will give us that same power through the Holy Spirit, that Scripture says that we are enabled to everything that Christ has access to if we are following him and a believer of him. When you look at Revelation, it's a common passage you might hear read at memorial services, but I think it's probably one of the best Scriptures, because it gives us the hope of knowing that there is still more to come. And when you look at Revelation 21, it's how John is still getting a vision from God, and God is sharing with him what will happen in the end times. And when you look at Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4, this is the hope that is given to John in his vision. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Why? Because even when God comes and completes things and redeems us into our perfect form, God is still that one day when the earth will be no more, we will, because of God being with us. That God shows how close he wants to be to us and how close he is to us. But the thing is, we have to remember we don't deserve it. That after Adam and Eve decided to fall, God could have gave up on his creation, said, I'm done, forget about it. He didn't, though. Throughout the Old and New Testament, individuals just like you and me who are imperfect, who are fallen, who make mistakes, and God doesn't give up on them. God continually used to show the grace and mercy to them, even when they don't deserve it. O come, Emmanuel. God, come even when I don't deserve it. Be with me even when I don't deserve it. Draw near to me even when I don't deserve it. That is what God's grace is all about. When we look at that aspect, that is the key component of the gospel. Getting what we don't deserve. God being with us and dwelling with us when we don't deserve it. And if it wasn't for Jesus coming and dwelling with us in the flesh and being Emmanuel, we wouldn't be here today, folks. If God had given up on us and turned his back on us, we would not be here today. We'd be doing something totally different. Because Jesus coming and dwelling with us and being with us changes us and changes how we live our lives. That as we're searching for hope, as we're searching for meaning, and we're searching for that light, it is found in Jesus, Emmanuel, the light of the world. And because of God being close to us, we therefore have light and can be that light. When you see Jesus being born in all four counts of the gospel, the most unique one I love is John, because John doesn't look at it from a historical point of view. John looks at the life of Jesus from him being fully God and looks at his divinity. And so when you read the gospel of John, you get a different picture of who Jesus is. And you look at John, you hear that word light, that Jesus is the light many times. In John 1, 5 through 9, it says, "The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself," meaning John, "was not the light, for John came only as a witness to the light. The true light gives light to everyone who is coming into the world." What an important thing to remember this morning as we are living in a dark world. It's interesting because yesterday I was in the apartment and I went into one of the rooms and I hit the light switch and I forgot that we didn't have any lights in that room because we had taken them out as we were preparing to move. And so last night around 6 o'clock and everything's dark outside, I'm fumbling around that one room trying to figure out what I was looking for and where it might be at by kind of touching things and feeling things. And I couldn't see anything at all. So I finally gave up. And I went out to where my little desk and stuff was set up and I got my little desk lamp and I had to find a plug in that room and plug it in. And when I plugged it in, it gave just enough light in that dark room for me to see what I was looking for. And it was amazing just how that little bit of light enabled me to be able to see what I was doing. That's how it is with Christ and for you and me. That left in darkness, we cannot see. We're fumbling around. We're turning the light switch on and nothing's coming on. And we're trying to feel around in our way of darkness. Well, I'm not sure where I'm at. Oh, what is this? Oh, this must be the door. This must be the window. Or this must be the wall. When we are left in darkness, we cannot see anything and cannot find our way. But Jesus, that light in that darkness, enables us to be able to see, to make sense of the world, to make sense of what God has called us to do, to give way to that light in the darkness. But we have to allow Jesus to do that in our lives. I could have continued to stumble around that room for over an hour trying to find what I was looking for in the darkness, but I didn't. We all have a choice to make. We can continue to stumble around in the darkness ourselves, or we can make a choice to go find the light of Jesus, the hope that it gives, and enable him to pierce the darkness so that you and I can see, so that he can fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we become a light to others, so that others might see through the darkness by how we're living our lives during this Advent season and every day of the year. That through us, his light will penetrate and bring others and point others to him. His light dwelling in us. But we can never truly experience God being with us if we don't allow Christ to come into our lives. He is the hope that we need each day. It's not just enough to say, oh, come and come, Emmanuel. It's not just enough to say, well, yes, God is with us and dwelling amongst us. No, we must invite him to be a part of our lives. It's not just enough to say, please come. No, open invitation. I'm here, God. I am all yours. Come and dwell inside of me. Forgive me of my sins. Restore me. Make me new again. Take me out of that darkness and give me the light that points me to you. That we can be forgiven and have a relationship again, even when Adam and Eve messed it all up for us. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty frustrated about that whole thing. About Adam and Eve, because I'm like, I didn't do anything. I didn't have a choice to make. I wasn't even born yet. But you're lumping me in with those two. Well, unfortunately, that's what happened. Because of two individuals who made a bad choice, we all have to suffer the consequences of living in sin. And God says through his son, Emmanuel, that there is hope and that we can be redeemed. Because God is close to us, it means that we can get close to each other and have relationships with each other. Because God shows his love to us, we can show love to each other. We can be that source of light and hope to each other as well. God coming and being with us is meant to inspire us as well. It's meant to get us excited about what God wants to do in us and through us. But it also is supposed to encourage us to reach out to others. This is something I missed out on so many years of my life. Oh, come and come, Emmanuel. And I'd say, oh, God, I want you to dwell with me. I want you to dwell in me. But I'd missed out on that second part of that dwelling. The dwelling is saying, okay, I am dwelling in you, Pastor Tom, but that means when I'm coming and being with you, then that means you also have to extend my grace and mercy out. It means you have to be in relationship with other people. It means you can't keep people at arm's length. And as a pastor, that is something that I struggle with for years because we kind of live what we call the glass fishbowl. You know, you ever seen those little tiny fish bowls with the goldfish swimming around and everybody comes over and starts tapping on the glass to see if the goldfish does? That's what the life of a pastor can be sometimes. You feel like you're just living in this fishbowl where everybody can see you. And sometimes you feel like you can have everything together and you got to say the right things and do the right things. And you don't want to reveal too much of yourself because you're not sure what's going to happen. And God says, no, that's not how I intended it to be. I intended it to be in relationship with you as well as you being in relationship with other people. And it took me a long time to realize that, to let my guard down, to begin to share with people, to say, you know what, I'm struggling right now. Can you help me? Can you pray for me? Or when somebody would say, hey, how are you doing? Not just saying, I'm fine, thank you. But saying, you know what, I'm glad you asked. It's been a rough week, or whatever it might be. Because that is what being in relationship with God is all about. It's about being vulnerable to him and vulnerable to each other so we can all live in relationship to other. God being with us is not just about our personal relationship with him. It's about a relationship with each other. The horizontal and the vertical, folk. Think about the cross for a second. The cross. Horizontal and vertical. Our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, it all ties together. Oh come, Emmanuel. You can't experience God being with you if you have walls up. You can't experience God's presence in your life if you're keeping individuals at arm's length. You can't experience God's grace in your life and God being with you if you have barriers. Because that means that you're going to have a barrier relationship with God. Because our relationship with God and relationship with others all goes together. That's what ministry is all about, folks, is relationships. It's not about programs. It's about relationships. It's about hearing the stories from people on Wednesday night meals when we host them. It was about Thursday, walking around and talking to people at the meal and hearing their story as they were sharing their story to various individuals that were there. It was neat because I was able to talk to one couple and they were sharing to me how at one time they were homeless and now they live in Columbia and they're very grateful for the fact of having a place to come on Thanksgiving. many stories of those individuals that said they had no place to go, and they are very thankful and grateful that we opened our doors to them so they come and sit and eat. And they were blown away that somebody would actually sit across the table for them and say, "Hey, how are you doing? What is your name?" Do you think about that? Do you know how amazed some of these people were on Wednesday nights and Thursday night, or Thursday for a Thanksgiving meal, when you just asked them their name? And the look they would get on their face, and you would say, "Well, why do you have that look on your face?" Because they would say, "Well, nobody's ever asked me my name before." They just kind of, "Hi, how are you doing?" and walk on by. And all of a sudden, you really care about me because you want to know who I am and my name is. That meant more to them than the turkey and the stuffing and the cranberries and everything else that came with the meal, that individuals stopped and talked to them and asked them their name and who they were. Relationships. God is with us, being a light of Christ through us, pointing it to other people so they can come and see, why do we do what we do? What are we about? We're about pointing others to Christ, the connecting others to Christ, the connecting to each other. That is our mission statement, connecting people to Christ and connecting to each other. It's a twofold mission, which ties into the gospel, folks. God dwelling with us. This morning, I want you to think about this question. How well do you know the people that are sitting in this room this morning? Many of us have probably been coming for many years, but yet we probably don't know the person's name four rows up from us. Or we might know their name, but yet we really don't know much about them, but they've been coming to this church for years. How much do we really know about each other in this room? Here's another question for you. When was the last time you didn't sit in the same seat that you've been sitting in for the last week, month, year, and you mixed it up to sit with somebody else? It's difficult because we all get in these trends and we kind of get conditioned. And when we're conditioned, we just kind of go through the motions. When was the last time, though, that we really looked around and said, "You know what? I don't really know that person too well. Let me get to know them." That's what builds community, folks. That's what builds this church up. It's great we do wonderful outreach to the community, but if we don't know each other in this community of ourselves as a church, then the church isn't going to move forward. It's not about focusing just on our relationship with God, but with each other and getting to know each other. Just simply saying, "Hey, you know what? How are you? I am so-and-so," or sitting in a different location. And look, there's plenty of rows up front here, folks. We'll make them available to you if you want. Matthew tells us in chapter 5 that we are the light of the world, a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but instead they put it on a stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That Jesus is that true light, and he calls us to closeness with him and closeness to each other. To reflect his presence, going to the darkest parts so that his light might shine. Well, what else does that mean? It means that maybe I have to have coffee, or you might have to have coffee with that person that we don't want to be associated with. It means that we have to reach out to the least of these that nobody else wants to talk to. It means that we have to kind of step out of our comfort zone and maybe do things that we're not willing to do to spread the gospel to all people. Getting close to others as Christ has gotten close to us. Emmanuel, God with us forever. God's not a distant God. He is a God here and now. And the process of being near to God and dwelling with God has unfolded for hundreds of years and is still unfolding to this day as we all move forward in our relationship with him. That God is moving us forward and not away from him. That God is seeking after us. And the question I have for all of us this morning is, how close do you feel God is to you this morning? because God is here in our midst. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like, well, God's forgotten about me. He's moved on, so what does it matter? Maybe you feel like God wouldn't love me. He wants nothing to do with me because of just how I am as a person, and He can never, ever want to forgive me for the things I've done. Maybe we're here today and we've just let our light dim a little bit over the time frame we've known Him. And so we come together and we claim the words of that hymn this morning. O come, Emmanuel. That today is a new day, the first Sunday in Advent, to claim that promise, to ask and invite Christ to be in our lives. Where He says, I will forgive you and set you free. I will once again light your candle so it will shine in the darkness. O come, Emmanuel. For this Advent season, next Advent season, and forever. That is the hope that God wants for us today, that will be filled with His joy, His hope, His peace, and His love. And that we might never forget that God is with us, coming to know His presence in our life, realizing that God is right there, just one step away. But we have to choose. We have to choose to invite Him into our lives and into all of our relationships, or just stay where we're at and say, I'm content living in the darkness. I don't want to move forward. For Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Not to condemn us while we are yet sinners, but to forgive us. O come, Emmanuel. Be the light in our lives, in our church, in our community, and be the light in our darkness.
Joyful.
come Emmanuel. What does that mean? It means connecting people to Christ and to each other. It means that we come and we say, God, fill us so we can go and fill others with your love and your hope, your peace and your joy. Why were the angels singing, Hark the Herald? Because Emmanuel has come and dwelt with us and continues to dwell in us and through us. That is the hope we have of Advent. So as you leave this place, may each and every day our prayer be, O come, Lord, O come, Emmanuel, and live inside of me that I might be a light in this darkness. May the grace and peace of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen and amen.